Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Matt Paddock, and I'm one of the pastors here at Relevant Community Church. And it is my prayer that something in this message inspires and empowers you to take your best next step to follow Jesus. And as you take steps in continually following Jesus, that you are more and more transformed into everything God has created you to be. I hope you enjoy this message.
When something is unfinished, it means it's still in process. It's being refined, molded, shaped into something that will one day be final, but it's not yet done. I'm confident that God's transforming work is unfinished. I'm confident God's transforming work is unfinished in you. He's not yet done transforming you into everything He's created you to be. God has done some amazing things in and through our church over the past 15 years, but He's not yet done with us. He has truly only just begun.
When you have more food than you need for dinner, most of us will put it in this. And what is this right here? Tupperware. Yes, this is not a trick question, all right? This is Tupperware. And when we put food into this, what do we normally call that food? Leftovers. And real quick, just by a raise of hand, who loves leftovers? If you love leftovers. Oh, wow, there's actually a few people that do. That surprised me a little bit. I actually love leftovers for lunch because I can warm them up real quick and get back to work. But for dinner, I hate them. Like, it actually makes me angry when it's like, pull this out and it's like, for dinner, I'm going to have leftovers. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. But real quick, another question. Who are leftovers for? Yeah, they're for ourselves, right? Like, have you ever served leftovers to a guest? Have you ever gone over to someone's house for dinner and they pulled this out of the fridge? Like, it probably never happened. And what would you think if they did? They invite you over and they're like, here, warm this up. You know, like, now, I know this is going to sound weird what I'm going to say next. Tupperware has more to do with our interaction with and our experience of God than we can possibly imagine. And I'll explain what I mean in just a minute. But if this is your first time, we are in the midst of this series called Unfinished. But this is more than just a five-week series. Unfinished is a new season in the life of our church I believe God wants to use to radically and powerfully transform you and our church in ways that you can't possibly imagine. And to help guide you on this unfinished journey, we put together one of these unfinished booklets, and we want to make sure that you have one of these so you understand what all this is. And so if you missed the first few weeks of this series, either because you're out of town or kids were sick or this is because it's your first time here, we want to get you one of these. Just raise your hand real quick if you haven't gotten one or if you lost one and need another one. And our ushers are throughout the room and they'll hand one of these. Just leave your hand up until they bring you one. Also, if you're watching online or if you guys want to, you can access what's in this book online. The URL is right here. Real quick, the first 27 pages of this book really outline the vision for Unfinished, explains how to engage in Unfinished. There's discussion guides for T-Life groups for all 5 weeks of the series. There's places to take sermon notes for all 5 weeks of the series. If you want to take notes today, there's a place on page 41. And if you're getting this for the very first time today, you see one of these cards attached to the back. Don't worry about that. I'll explain what that is. So just set that to aside for right now. But here's the big idea of Unfinished is that God's transforming work is unfinished. And Relevant, I'm confident God's transforming work is unfinished in you. He's not done transforming you into everything He's created you to be. And I'm confident that God's transforming work is unfinished in us as a church. He's not yet done transforming us into everything He's created us to be. And I'm confident that God can and wants to carry on to completion His unfinished transforming work in you and in us as a church. And I'm also confident that transformation doesn't happen by accident. We must be positioned for it. And according to the writers of Scripture and according to Jesus, one of the ways that we position ourselves for it is through our generosity. I told you this isn't just a five-week series. This is a season. So if you're first time with us, let me catch you up real quick. Unfinished is a two-year generosity initiative to help carry on to completion God's unfinished transforming work in you and in us as a church. We've set an unfinished generosity goal of $12 million over the next 2 years to help carry on to completion, first, our unfinished mission of helping transform people into everything God's created us to be, second, our unfinished vision for the Relevance Center, and third, the unfinished impact that Jesus has called us to in our community with Korean refugees in Omaha and the Thai-Burma border, with helping start new churches, and with supporting our nonprofit partners all around the world. And once again, all that's explained in the first 27 pages of this book. But here's what you need to know. The two-year generosity goal of $12 million, it's a God-sized goal. It's the biggest step of faith we've ever taken as a church. However, it's not our primary goal. And listen, this is so important. And if this is your first time with us, you need to know this. And I've said this every week. If you've been here, this is so vitally important to really understand what Unfinished is all about. Our primary goal for Unfinished is 100% engagement. Our primary goal is that 100% of us, single, married, wealthy, financially strapped, young, old, and everyone in between, 100% of us go before God and engage in Unfinished by asking Him what He would have you do in regard to your generosity over the next 2 years, and then just stepping out in faith and sacrificially following Him. And that's our primary goal, not because I want something from you. I do not want anything from you. But because of the transformation that I want for you and for me. And transformation doesn't happen by accident. We must be positioned for it. And once again, one of the ways that we position ourselves for transformation is through generosity. And the reason that generosity positions us for transformation is because, maybe more than anything else does, generosity proves our trust in God, grows our trust in God, and transfers our trust to God. The more we trust Him, the better the relationship with Him is, the better our relationship with Him is, the more we experience His presence, and the more He transforms us into everything He's created us to be. And that's ultimately what God wants for you, and ultimately what Unfinished is all about. Now, if that's true, that generosity positions us for transformation, which I obviously believe that it is, the question that we, those of us who would say we're followers of Christ, those of us who said we've put our faith in Jesus, and for those of us who are part of Relevant and say that, man, we love our church, the question that we need to honestly answer is my generosity positioning me for transformation? Is my generosity positioning me for God to carry on to completion the Unfinished transforming work that He wants to do in me and in our church? And to help you answer this question, throughout this series, we're looking at four postures. Four postures that position us for transformation and how true generosity positions us to actually take that posture. So listen, regardless of your past church experience, regardless of where you're at on your spiritual journey, regardless of how long you've been a part of Relevant, I believe if you continue to engage with an open mind and an open heart, what we're talking about throughout this series, that you will position yourself to experience God in a way you haven't before, you'll position yourself to experience church in a way you haven't before, and you'll position yourself to experience transformation in a way you haven't before. So far, we've talked about two postures that position us for transformation. We talked about the posture of surrender, and we've talked about the posture of sacrifice. And today we're going to look at a third posture, and it's the posture of priority. Now, here's the reality. Something currently holds the number one priority in your life. Something currently holds the number one priority in your life. Could be your kids or sports or a job or your relationship. And whatever it is, it drives every other decision in your life and everything in your life, your heart, your money, your time, your relationships, your energy revolves around it. Everything else in your life becomes secondary to whatever your number one priority is. You essentially bow to your number one priority. And by the way, this is the posture of priority. So let me ask you a question most of you already know the answer to, and even if you don't know the answer to it when I ask you this, you're going to assume the answer probably correctly because of where you're at right now. As followers of Christ, as people who have put our faith in Jesus and said, Jesus, you are the forgiver of my sins, and I proclaim that you're the leader of my life, you're my Lord. What should our number one priority be? What or who should we be bowing to? Good. Jesus clearly told us, right? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with how much? All your heart. And with how much? All your soul. And with how much? All your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. See, according to Jesus, the moment we put our faith in Him, the moment we ask Him to be the forgiver of our sins and say, we need you as our Savior, and the moment we proclaim He's the leader of our life and we're following Him as our Lord, our number one priority above all else should be our love, our devotion, our commitment, and our worship of God. As followers of Christ, our posture should be, God, you are not a priority in my life, but you are the number one priority in my life above all else. Jesus, as the leader of my life, as my Lord, whatever you would have me do drives every other decision in my life and everything else in my life, my kids, sports, my job, my finances, my time, my relationships revolve around you. I bow to you with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my life. The moment we put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and leader of our life, and then get baptized to publicly proclaim our faith in Jesus, what we're essentially proclaiming is this. Take a look.
Baptism. What is baptism all about? Well, let's look at a typical life. Many of our lives look like this. I am the center of my life, and the different components that make up my life, family, job, school, friends, money, house, car, all revolve around me. It is my life, after all. Sometimes I bring the religion component into my life as well, and that revolves around me too. But the thing is, our relationship with Jesus was never meant to be just one piece of our lives. When we decide to follow Jesus, when we accept his invitation to become the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, Jesus invites us to bring our whole life into our relationship with him. To follow him, not just in one component of our life, but in everything. When we are truly following Jesus, things don't revolve around us anymore. Jesus becomes the center of our lives, our family, our job, our friends, our possessions. We are now part of something that's bigger than ourselves. So what does baptism have to do with all this? Baptism is a symbol of that decision to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. That decision to go from a me-centered life to a Christ-centered life. Baptism doesn't have any supernatural power. The water isn't holy. Baptism is simply a public proclamation of what has already taken place in our hearts, dying to our old way of life and rising to a new life in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism means. That's what we celebrate.
So bottom line, to follow Jesus, he must be our number one priority. To follow Jesus, he must be our number one priority. And you want him to be your number one priority because you want to experience more of God. And you want to experience God's presence and power. And you want his unfinished transforming work to be carried on to completion in you and in our church. And you want to be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. And you want to experience the life and the hope and the peace and the joy and the fulfillment that only God can give. And you want to see God move powerfully in your life and in our church. And you want to see and you want to experience things that can only be attributed to God, don't you? Well, here's what you need to know. God has promised to move powerfully when he's our number one priority, but he's promised nothing when he's not. To follow Jesus, we must take the posture of him being our number one priority, of him being first in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, which obviously includes financially. And what prevents you and me from taking this posture financially is Tupperware. And to explain what I mean, we're going to go to the last book in the Hebrew Scriptures, the last book of what we in our Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 3. As part of God's redemptive plan for humanity, he chose to bless the world through the Hebrew people who became known as the Israelites, who became known as the Jews. 2,000 years before Jesus walked the earth, God promised the Hebrew people that they would be his people and that he would be their God. And then God gave them 600 plus laws and commands for how to live as his chosen people. That became known as the Mosaic Law. We now call it the Old Covenant. If you narrowed down what God was trying to communicate through all these laws and commands to the Israelite people was this: trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey me. And it came with a promise and a consequence. If you trust and obey, I will bless you in such a way that the rest of the world will know that you serve the one true God. I will bless you with my presence and my power. I will bless you with myself. But if you don't, I will discipline you severely until you turn back to me. So for 2,000 years, the Israelites went back and forth. They would trust and obey. God would bless them. They would disobey. God would discipline them severely. And finally, in about 400 BC, so about 400 years before the events of Jesus' life, God's fed up. So he sent the prophet Malachi to communicate a message to the Israelites. And the book of Malachi is the recorded document of that message. And here's one of the things that God spoke through Malachi to the Israelite people. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. God's saying to them, my love for you is unchanging regardless if you trust and obey me or not. It's the only reason I haven't wiped you off the face of the earth. But let's be clear, I should have. Because ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and my laws and my commands and have not kept them. God's saying, you're my chosen people. You've declared I'm your God. You've declared your love for me. You've declared your commitment to trust and obey me, but you have not. And that's why you're not experiencing the fullness of my presence and power. He goes on to say, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. It's like he's pleading with them because he loves them so much, because he wants so much for them. And by the way, look at this verse real fast. What comes first? Them returning to God? Or them experiencing the power and presence of God? What comes first? Return to me, and then I will return to you. But you ask, God says, how are we to return? It's almost as if they're playing dumb. Like, we don't know how you want us to return, God. We're right here. We've been here the whole time, and we do this. God, we come on Sundays. I'm in a T-Life group. We try to live a God-honoring and moral life, and we sing about this, God. We sing our love and our trust for you, and aren't you impressed by our good singing to you? And I bow to no other idols. I will worship you alone. God, see, we love you. We trust you. So how have we turned away from you? And here was God's response. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yeah, you rob me. You ever had something stolen? It's terrible, isn't it? Christy and I, the 3 years that we lived in Chicago when I was finishing up school, in a one-year span had both of our bikes stolen, a gas grill, and the license plates off our car. I don't know what you're doing with those. Felt violated, felt devalued. If you ever had anything stolen, you felt the same way, just violated, devalued. That's what's happening here in Malachi. God's own people have turned from him, have turned from the God that they say they loved and they trusted and then they obeyed and they prioritized by robbing him. But you ask, how are we robbing you, God? We didn't walk into the temple and steal anything. And here's how God said, in tithes and offerings. Now, in the Mosaic law, in the old covenant, God commanded the Israelites to tithe. Tithe meant 10%. God commanded the Israelites to give 10% of everything they had in the urn to fund and support the ministry of the temple. And in addition to this, they were required to give additional offerings at certain times and certain situations throughout the year. Essentially, when God commanded them to give their tithes and their offerings, he was commanding them to give the first and the best of everything that he'd already given them back to him. Essentially, God was saying, trust and obey me. Trust and obey. Your obedience to this is evidence of your trust and your commitment to me, my kingdom, my temple, my will, my glory, my presence, my power. Your obedience to this is one of the things that will identify you as one of my people. Your obedience to this is one of the primary ways that you prioritize me as first in your lives. And over time, the Israelites did what we often do. Some of them were giving generously and sacrificially. Others were giving nothing at all. Most were giving their leftovers. Instead of giving God their first and their best, they were giving God what they had left after they first took care of their needs and their wants. And who are leftovers for? They're not for our guests, and they're especially not for God. Leftovers are for ourselves. By not giving God their first and their best, they weren't prioritizing Him as first in their lives. They proved that He wasn't their number one priority. They were bowing to something else over Him. And like many of us, they're giving God their leftovers, and then they're still expecting Him to give them His best. And what relationship works like that? None of them. Especially not our relationship with God. God has promised to move powerfully when He's our number one priority, but He's promised nothing when He's not. So God looks at them and says, "How are you robbing me? By not trusting me enough to prioritize and obey me in this way. And therefore, you're robbing me of the transforming work that I want to do in you and through you as my people. So you're under a curse," He said to them, "which means you're no longer divinely blessed by God, your whole nation, because you're robbing me." God said, "Because you're robbing me by giving me your leftovers, you're under a curse by me. And I don't want that for you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to return to me by prioritizing me as first in your lives and bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." God's saying, "Listen, could I provide all the food needed for the ministry of the temple without you, Israelites? Yes, but I've chosen to do it through you. Experiencing my divine blessing, experiencing the fullness of my presence and power, seeing me move and work is a byproduct of giving back to me your first and your best. It comes in response to prioritizing me as number one in your lives by trusting and obeying me in this way." So God says, "Test me in this." He's like, "Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Test me in this," says the Lord Almighty, "and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe," says the Lord Almighty. "Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land," says the Lord Almighty. God's saying to the Israelites, "I promise to move powerfully and bless you when I'm your number one priority. So prioritize me as first in your lives by giving back to me your first and your best." And unfortunately, the Israelites did not return to God in this way, which is one of the reasons that God went silent for the next 400 years. For the next 400 years, they did not experience the presence and power of God at all. Oh, they wanted it. They desired it. They longed for it. They sang cool songs about it, but they didn't trust and obey and make Him their number one priority. Here's the big idea. Giving God our first and our best positions us to prioritize Him as first in our lives. And as we saw in Malachi, when we make Him our number one priority, He then blesses us. And God has never promised to bless us with financial wealth. Never. As we saw last week, He promises to bless us with something so much more, something so much bigger, something so much better than that. He promises to bless us with Himself. He blesses us with His presence, His power, His peace, His provision, His joy, His hope, His fulfillment, His life. He blesses us with the transforming work that only He can do in us and through us. Listen, come on. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't want your money. Everything you have came from Him to begin with. He's got all the money and all the resources He could ever need. God wants us to prioritize Him as first. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our life. And according to Jesus, remember we looked at this a few weeks ago, no one can serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, Jesus said. Jesus is saying, listen, you will serve, you will prioritize, you will bow to one of two masters, God or money, but you can't bow to both. I won't bow to any idols. I will worship you alone. And we sing it. And yet we bow to something else. We've seen over the last few weeks that according to Jesus, the number one competitor for our hearts and the number one thing that we're tempted to make our number one priority in this life is money. And so many of us refuse to be honest about it. And that's why giving God our first and our best positions us to prioritize him as first in our lives. So listen, here's my question. For those of you who are followers of Christ, for those of you who said you've put your faith in Jesus, you've asked Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins, and you've proclaimed he's the leader of your life, here's my question for you. Does your giving reflect that God is your number one priority? Let me ask it a different way. Are you giving God your first and your best? Or are you serving him your leftovers? What you have left at the end of the week, end of the month, end of the year, if you have any left. And come on, let's be honest. Who feels that they have any leftovers to give anyway? If you and I want to experience more God, if you and I want to experience his presence and his power, if you and I want to experience his unfinished transforming work to be carried on to completion in you and in our church, if you and I want to be more transformed to everything God's created us to be, if you and I want relevant to be more transformed to everything God's created us to be, we must financially prioritize God as first in our lives by giving back to him our first and our best. And giving back to him our first and our best does not start with the question, what can I afford? It does not start with that question. It starts with the question that you hear me ask you over and over and over again for the last 15 years. You've been part of Relevant for 15 years. God, what would you have me do in regard to my generosity? God, what would you have me do? And by the way, what I'm going to say next, if you're still chalking it up to, oh, this is just a pastor who's trying to get something from me and he's preaching on this, what I'm going to say next, I wouldn't say if I was really trying to get something from you. So you could just take that, turn it sideways. And as followers of Jesus today, we are not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. We're under the new covenant because of Jesus' sacrifice for us and what Jesus did for us. And under the new covenant grace of God through Jesus, God has not commanded us to tithe. That was for the Israelites. That was a command that God gave the Israelites. He did not give it to us. But so many of us then use that as an excuse, God's grace for less. And go ahead and read through the New Testament. Go ahead and read what Jesus said, and go ahead and read what Paul said. God's grace is never an excuse for less. God's grace is always an excuse for more. Because of God's amazing grace that we've been given, that we did not deserve, he deserves our first and our best. So if you use God's grace as an excuse for less, you don't understand God's amazing grace. You understand religion. Giving God our first and our best starts by asking him what he would have us do. And what he leads and prompts and stirs us to do, maybe a certain percentage, maybe a dollar amount, then we trust and obey. Trust and obey. We follow Jesus and trust and obey. You trust and obey by making it your number one financial priority, by giving it first, and then giving the leftovers to who the leftovers are for, ourselves. You trust and obey by everything else taking second to and bowing to what Jesus has invited you to do. And doing that isn't always easy. Doing that requires sacrificing some things we need and we want, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it because giving God our first and our best positions us to prioritize Him as first in our life, and God has promised to move powerfully when He's our number one priority. Go ahead and take a look.
So financial giving, I think, has been an area that we've kind of gone through phases as we matured as in our lives. I had a pretty legalistic view. We're going to give God His 10%, count it all up. If it's 10%, I'm being a good steward. There's nothing wrong with stewardship, but we weren't being transformed. It was just more of checking the box that we've done what we should do for God. 12 years ago, God really started working on our hearts that it's all His. And yes, we were very convinced that we needed to bring 10%, but then we were gonna give generously on top of that to support any ministries that God put in our path. And that's when giving started to get fun. Like, we would support new things, but God would provide more resources, and so we were able to just support different things, and we started to see transformation, not just with financial, but also with our possessions, our home. But now, like, looking at unfinished, I think it's time for the next step. And that's sacrificial giving. Generosity is fun, it's great, but honestly, we've never even got to the point where we felt like we were sacrificing anything. I feel like God is calling us to move to that next level. And when we wrote words on the mirror, what I wrote was no safety net. God has us in His hand, and that we shouldn't be trusting our savings or our 401k or any of that for our future. Those are all fine things, but we need to recognize that it's all God's. And whether He gives us just enough to eat and a house to live, or whether He blesses us tremendously financially, that isn't the goal. The goal is the transformation in our hearts.
But that question is, do I believe Him? I believe in Him, and I'm a follower of Christ, but do I take my Bible and actually believe what He says? Because if I can say yes, then in those moments when I am filled with worry or just struggling, I can remind myself, no, He took care of us in this situation, in this situation, in this situation. And I can pick up my Bible and see that He's not just gonna let me flounder, that He will take care of our needs.
When you have a generous heart and God speaks to you and says, hey, you know, I want you to add a zero. Like, that happened one time. It was like, are you serious? Like, add a zero to that? That's 10 times more. But God really said, do it, and we did it, and it was outrageous, and it was awesome. Like, to just see, like, the impact that that would have and the transformation that it made, because I was trusting Him and just letting go. I'm not saying that God is going to answer your gift with financial blessings, but He promises He will bless you. And those blessings, a lot of times, are going to be the more valuable ones. They're going to be your heart changing,
right.
Your marriage changing, your outlook on everything will change.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited. I'm stoked to see what God is going to do. If we're obedient, how is He going to transform us even more? And are we going to help other people to recognize the joy that comes in just letting go, holding everything with an open hand and saying, it's all yours, God. What do you want to do with it?
I mean, I'm excited about the buildings and what it's going to do, but I'm more excited to see the faith growth and seeing people fall in love with God more and more. So I would encourage people just to take that step. Say, okay, God, I don't know about this, but I want to grow. God's not going to leave you hanging. He is going to walk through this with you. You know, you get to a certain age and sometimes you can struggle with, do I have a place? Is God going to use me? Do I still have something to give? And I do, and He's reminded me of that. Our journey, our race is not finished. You know, none of us are done. We're all on a journey, and it's all growth. And I wanna be the woman that He has created me to be.
Yeah, we are getting older, but this isn't the time to coast. Like, I don't wanna come to the finish line and just cruise across and barely sweating. I wanna, like, dive across with my last bit of energy and having spent everything and just laid it all out so that when people remember me, they don't remember somebody who got to a peak and then just coasted. I want to keep pushing, I want to finish the race well.
I'm Marcy.
And I'm Mike.
And we are Unfinished.
Yeah, Mike and Marcy, thank you for sharing your guys' story. Appreciate that so much. Do you want to be positioned for God's transforming work to be carried on to completion in you and in us? If so, does your giving reflect that God is your number one priority? What I'm so excited about for Unfinished is that it's giving us all the opportunity to take the posture of prioritizing God first in our lives by giving back to Him our first and our best. Listen, Unfinished is not primarily about raising $12 million. And if you think it is, and if you assume that it is, and if you're saying that it is, you're wrong. You've completely missed the point. Unfinished is primarily about all of us declaring that God is our number one priority above all else. Next Sunday is the culmination of Unfinished. Next Sunday is Commitment Sunday. And once again, my only ask of you and my challenge for you is that over the next 7 days, you go before God and ask Him, not me, I'm not asking anything from you. You go before God and ask Him, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do in regard to my generosity over the next 2 years? Ask. Listen. And whatever you feel Jesus in prompting and Jesus stirring and Jesus inviting you to do, however scary or uncomfortable or sacrificial it is, next Sunday, Commitment Sunday, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey by making your 2-year unfinished generosity commitment on one of these cards. And my prayer is that whatever is written on each of our cards next Sunday, that it reflects our first and our best. I can't wait for next Sunday because it's going to be a powerful and transformational day for you and for our entire church. And I know that because of what happened last Sunday. Last Sunday at Advanced Commitment Night, many of you chose to go first and make your 2-year unfinished generosity commitment before the rest of our church does next Sunday on Commitment Sunday. And it was an amazing night, and God moved, and I was completely blown away by the steps of faith that so many of you took. And I'm so excited to see how God moves next Sunday on Commitment Sunday. And I'm also excited to see how God moves in the hearts and lives of our kids and students. Remember, our primary goal for Unfinished is 100% engagement. Old, all the way to young, and everyone in between. And this morning in Relevant Kids, and this afternoon in Rooted, and then Wednesday night at Youth United, our kids and students are making their unfinished generosity commitments before we all do next Sunday. The steps of faith that they are taking is going to be transformational for them because generosity positions us for transformation. And next Sunday, you'll be able to see some of that because we're capturing it on video, what's happening in Rooted, Relevant Kids, and YU this week. As you're going before God this week and asking Him what He would have you do, remember, Unfinished is a one-fund initiative, meaning your unfinished generosity commitment will be your total giving over the next 2 years. Your regular giving, end-of-year giving, expanded giving, Be Rich offering giving, everything will be your total giving over the next 2 years and will go toward everything we're trying to do as a church over the next 2 years, which once again is all outlined in this book. Next Sunday, if you forget to bring this card with you, don't worry. We'll have one for you here. Also, if you can't be here in person, you can make your unfinished generosity commitment online next Sunday as well. Relevant. Over the next week, let's seek God boldly. Let's seek Him courageously. And then next Sunday, on Commitment Sunday, on one of these cards, let's declare, God, You're my number one priority. God, I give You my first and my best. If we all do that, if we all just do that, you, I, us, will be more positioned for God to transform us into everything He's created us to be. And once again, that's the ultimate reason we're doing Unfinished. Because God's transforming work, well, it's unfinished. It's unfinished in you. It's unfinished in us. It's unfinished through us as a church. And I'm confident that he will carry it on to completion if we surrender all of ourselves into his hands, if we sacrificially follow Jesus together, if we prioritize him as first in our lives, and if we trust God together. Before I close in prayer, I just want to remind you quickly of two things. First, at the Next Step area, we got all things unfinished. If you have any questions about unfinished, Next Step area. If you haven't seen the renderings of the Relevance Center expansion, which is what some of this unfinished money is going to go help fund, go look at those at the Next Step area. If you need an extra book, Next Step area. If you haven't got a free unfinished t-shirt yet, go to the Next Step area. We'll give you one. Also, secondly, next Sunday is not just Commitment Sunday. Next Sunday is also Relevant Kids Mega Awesome Costume Party. We do this once a year. The kids love it. It's stinking awesome. So listen, if you're a parent of a K through fifth grader, get your kids' costumes back out. Get them dressed up. Get them here. They know this is going on next week. They will be mad if you don't bring them. And when they turn on you in the future and don't want and tell you they hate you, this is why. This is what because they missed Mega Awesome Costume Party. So listen, they'll be jammed up jelly tight in the theater next week, but they are going to have a blast. So make sure, parents, make sure that you get your kids here for that. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, I just thank you for loving us, for never giving up on us, for pursuing us, even when we don't trust and obey, even when we don't keep you as first in our lives. You continue to give us your best. And Lord, if you never give us one more thing, you gave us your best when you sent your son for us. That was your first. That was your best. And we proclaim to you that was enough. So Lord, as we're praying and we're seeking you this week, I pray you just show us what you'd have each of us do individually, help us recognize it, and give us the courage and the faith to step into it. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. We are so passionate about helping people follow Jesus one next step at a time. If you're looking for your best next step, we want to invite you to text the word CONNECTED to 55444 to learn more about the steps you can take to continue growing in a relationship with Jesus. And last but not least, at Relevant, we know that generosity generates transformation. If you feel led to support the work that God is doing in and through Relevant Community Church, there are multiple ways that you can give digitally. Thanks again for spending some of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.